time for Dave and Darren's patron exclusive show. Yes, it's our Boxing Day spooktacular
with scary ghost stories.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll have some scary ghost stories. It's certainly possible. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Obviously, you know who we are. You're patrons of the Dave and Darren podcast. So
happy Boxing Day.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks for your support. I hope you enjoy whatever it is we're about to do for you. Darren, I'll ask the question everyone's wondering about. Yeah. How was your Christmas?
I like the fact that now, have you noticed this? This is catching on, this salutation.
Mm-hmm.
Happy everything.
There is a lot of that. Almost happy. I also am hearing a lot of happy whatever, where it's like, it's not up to me to determine what you're celebrating.
Yeah.
I don't want to get
now,
into it.
Now, does that diminish anything or?
Well, I think there are some who would say that it does, but I think the spirit.
Happy everything.
I think if
more of everything.
If the spirit is that you're genuinely just wishing someone happiness, then I don't see how you could have a problem with it.
Happy is what I say. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at any of it. There were some family members that were trying to give me a hug and tell me that they love them. And my response was, okay.
This is for you.
So I love you, Uncle Darren. All right.
Okay. That's enough. That's enough.
That'll be enough of that. Oh gosh, that's just great.
You know, because typically what you would do is you would reply by saying "love you too."
Yes.
But for some reason, I was just like, okay.
Okay. Well, that's thanks.
Okay.
If you feel better saying that, good for you. I was struck this year by how much of my Christmas is informed by commercials.
Mm. Meaning what?
Well, for example, there are commercials every year that it's like it's not Christmas until I see them. For example, the Hershey's Kisses, where they're all lined up like a Christmas tree and they ring, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." When I see that, I feel like, okay, now it's Christmas.
Okay. Are you over it now, though?
Oh,
being
that
it's the 26th?
Yeah, well, there was the Menards commercials that used to always run, where they would change up their jingles for Christmas. And I always got a kick out of that, and I don't think they do it anymore, where it was like, "Warm season's cheer, great savings and good cheer, have a nice holiday." And then they would go, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards." I liked when they go, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas."
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't hear that this year, although it's not like I watch a lot of TV that has commercials in it. Did you see the Denver Broncos have fired their head coach?
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, they should. That is something else.
If you're a Denver Bronco fan.
When did they fire Urban Meyer last year? Did he make it? He didn't make it through the whole year, did he?
He didn't make it to Halloween, man.
Didn't he?
Uh-uh. No, because that wasn't about. Was that about losing or is that about him having kids sit and grind on his crotch?
I think it was a bit of everything. Mm. Yeah. That didn't help the grinding.
When did he get fired in Jacksonville? Let me look that up. He was fired, December 16th.
Okay.
So he did make it a lot longer than I thought.
Okay, so, but not as long as, what's the guy's name? Nathaniel Hackett?
The Denver Hutchinson? What the hell's this Denver coach's name? I couldn't tell you, but I'll tell you this. He's probably thrilled to be out of there.
Yeah, that was.
No, thank you.
You think the Chicago Bears have problems?
Nathaniel Hackett, buddy to his friends. Denver Broncos have fired head coach Nathaniel Hackett.
None of his friends know who Buddy Hackett is.
I'm willing to bet you're right.
They don't.
Every single friend Nathaniel Hackett has, not a one of them has
ever
heard.
Because how old is he? What is he, 32 years old or something?
Yeah, well, he can get a job doing something else.
Sure.
Going somewhere else. It's not his fault that they handed him this Russell Wilson, right?
Wow.
They say no sense in delaying the inevitable. Denver Broncos fired head coach Nathaniel Hackett on Monday morning, less than 24 hours after this once proud franchise suffered an embarrassing 51-14 Christmas Day shellacking by the LA Rams.
I think
Hackett didn't make it through the first season of his 4-year contract.
Mm-mm.
Gosh, they usually give you 1 year.
Yeah, at least one. Well, I'll tell you this, in watching the football over the weekend.
Yes.
Saturday and Sunday. Football! Catch the fever.
Yes.
Tua found a lot of wide open Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was he doing?
Yeah.
He was lobbing the ball to the defense. Like, you're open. Here it comes.
I tell you, with him, he's either spectacular or horrendous. It reminds me of back in the day as Bear fans, where it's like, are we getting good Rex Grossman or bad Rex Grossman?
Yeah. Is it sexy Rexy or what?
Is it good Jay Cutler or bad Jay Cutler? I was talking to my dad last night, and it was a great Christmas conversation because we spent most of our time talking about how great Justin Fields is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's really what the holiday should be about.
Exactly.
How much snow did you get? Here's how much snow that we got. Can you believe how much wind there has been? And now let's talk about Justin Fields. Give Mom a hug and Merry Christmas. It was a wonderful conversation. But to be able to have a conversation where you're hopeful, the Bears have lost 8 games in a row now.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled with them.
Well, you don't want to screw it up now.
I wish I hadn't went with them on the cover 5. I could have sworn you took the Broncos this week, but you didn't.
I took them the week before.
That's what it was. That's what it must be. So how'd you end up doing in our cover 5?
Well, it's not easy to do what I did.
You're at 0 for the week.
Yes.
You didn't gain anything, but it's lose anything.
When am I going to be on the Price is Right?
This is what I do every week for cover 5. First, I look to see where you're at. Then immediately I look to see where your mom is.
Yes.
Your mom had a rough week.
She did.
Yeah.
But she is just trying to hang in there. I think she's still got 21 total points. And for her, the whole thing has just been to survive in positive numbers. She's got 2 weeks to do it.
I think she can do it.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. That's like I find myself rooting for your mom when I check the numbers. Rooting obviously against you.
Sure.
And then for your mother to do well. I ended up with 18 points for the week, which is a real
shame.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I lost 13 and a half.
Well, you were in first place at one time with 50 points.
And that was for a good hour and a half. I was in first place.
And I think my mom was in third place at that time, and it all disappeared.
Yeah. Not great. But, you know, I'll take more points to add to the total. And then whoever selected me, we'll have a really good chance.
We do have
$100 gift
certificate. There's one more game, of course, tonight, but we do have some breaking Cover 5 news.
Oh, wait a minute. For real?
Yes.
Breaking news?
Breaking news.
Well, this calls for the breaking news.
And you patrons are the only people that'll know it.
Right, because we're not doing a radio thing for another week.
Right.
This is the only way anyone could find out about it.
Yes, that's exactly right. We will be at Steve's Old Time Tap for the noon games on what is the last weekend, last Sunday of the NFL season, regular season, on January 8th.
Well, that is exciting.
So join us for that. That'll be fun. And then, of course, we'll have our picks that we'll display, I would imagine, like on Facebook on Friday.
I will say this. Any patron who comes to the that'll be the Bears and Vikings game, right?
Bears and Vikings.
Any patron who comes up and says, hey, I'm a patron, Dave and Darren will buy you a beer.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on over and see us. Could be a lot of fun. I got a lot to get to today.
Okay.
You know, this has been it was the year of the alligator.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that's coming to an end. There's a story out of Detroit where
the alligators have made their way to Detroit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the police were serving an eviction notice, and when they got to the house, this is in Detroit, Michigan, they went to evict a family from a Detroit home.
Oh, I don't think so.
And stumbled upon a family of alligators living inside the home.
Mm-hmm.
Officials say they were shocked when they stepped into the home and found one adult gator and 3 baby gators.
Well, the alligators were actually the babysitters. Mom and dad are out right now, but the kids are home and so are the alligators.
I was going to say alligators can't pay the rent because they got such tiny little arms. Try to get into their...
Oh, I'd love
to. Try to write a check, but like, look at this. What can I do?
Look at me. I'm sweating.
Officials immediately called the Detroit Animal Care and Control to give a hand removing to the family of alligators, with the 3 baby gators all stuffed inside a medium-sized tank filled with water. Animal control taking the tank with the 3 gators all swimming around, and then another set of workers had to carry the grown gator outside with the reptile's snout tied up to protect workers. I don't know whether or not it's okay or legal to have an alligator as a
Probably not.
A pet in the state of Michigan?
Probably not.
But it is illegal for sure to have an alligator as a pet in the city of Detroit.
Ah.
That's something they thought ahead and put a law on the books. So who knows?
Maybe that's the first thing the founding fathers all agreed on.
we shall call our town Detroit.
Number two.
Number two, no alligators.
Is everyone in agreement? Yes, so, unanimous?
So say us all.
So say us all. Number three.
A federally licensed exhibitor and owner of an exotic zoo telling the news there in Michigan, quote, "A lot of times people can obtain an alligator without knowing the proper laws. Alligators can be dangerous even if they're young, and they need a certain amount of space and a proper environment to thrive."
Yeah,
I'm guessing
right, yes.
Inside a house in Detroit isn't what they're thinking of when they say a proper environment. This guy, Jovan Stacks, says an alligator that's not fed a proper diet, the entire snout and mouth will be deformed.
Oh, no.
It looks like whoever had this alligator was taking good care of it. Well, there you go.
That wasn't our guy, Jay Thunderfoot, was it?
Could have been. I mean, that makes more sense than anything if you think about it. Can't pay my rent because I got a family full of alligators to feed.
You know how it is.
Detroit police said they had to call court officers for backup because the tenant was irate, and he took off before the police officers arrived at the home. Police caught up with him soon later, but then they say this man fled on foot and was whisked away by someone in another car.
I tell you what, I'm leaving, but I'm very upset.
I want the
I'm going to beat it, but I'm irate.
Let the record reflect I'm not happy.
I'm leaving.
Detroit Animal Control said the gators were all in good conditions once they were removed from the home. Animal Control is authorized to sell, transfer, or euthanize any reptile they confiscate. They say these gators will not be euthanized. They will be given to a licensed animal keeper.
There you go.
So
good.
Good news for the gators. It's not.
That's a Christmas miracle.
The gator and the the three. It's three siblings all found a place to stay for Christmas.
And the three wise baby gators.
Meanwhile, at the Smithsonian Zoo, a 10-year-old Cuban crocodile is dead after biting an electrical outlet in its enclosure there at the Smithsonian National Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute.
That could do it.
The Smithsonian Zoo saying here in a press release that this crocodile, which was hatched as part of efforts to repopulate the 3,000-member species, was attracted to the outlet. Quote, known for their aggressive
behavior.
Who isn't?
Behavior.
Can't get that outlet out of my mind. Known for their aggressive behavior.
I got to get my inlet in that outlet.
The crocodile pulled the electric equipment off the wall and bit various pieces. Cuban crocodiles are one of the most endangered species of crocodile. They typically live for 50 to 75 years.
And where did this take place?
At the Smithsonian National Zoo. So that's in Washington, D.C., right?
I have to imagine from a distance it was like, what is that? Is that...
Have you ever had gator?
Hope that's available for everyone.
Yeah. I've never eaten crocodile, but I have had alligator a lot. It's wonderful.
Sure.
It's a really delicious meat. You got to prepare it right, though. You can't just electrocute it.
No.
I mean, there's ways of preparing it.
Other than using a stun gun.
A pathology report is underway to confirm the crocodile's cause of death. My guess is if you found it with a mouthful of electric wires that were active, that was the cause of death. But, hey, do your thing, Smithsonian.
Due diligence.
This crocodile's enclosure will remain empty, they say, for the foreseeable future. You didn't think that was a problem, having like exposed wires where a crocodile has his giant teeth?
Who's already shown some affection for it?
You can't get that outlet out.
Can't get it out of my mind.
Hey, just so you know, as an alligator, I'm what we call AC/DC. You know, I go both ways. A French serial killer known as the Serpent.
Yes, is out of jail.
Out of jail, and well, this is just one of the more bizarre ones.
Why is he the Serpent?
He's dubbed the Serpent. He's a Frenchman linked to the murders of more than 20 Western backpackers on the hippie trail through Asia between 1972 and 1982.
You know what makes really good mulch for your roses? Hippies. Boy, you've got beautiful roses. I know, I do.
Well, I'll tell
you. And the very best compost, the mulch, hippies.
I'll tell you my secret. This guy's name is Charles Sobhraj. They called him the Serpent. He spent 19 years behind bars in Nepal for killing two people in 1975 before the Supreme Court of Nepal ordered his release due to failing health. And they let him out for good behavior. In Nepal, the law allows inmates who have exhibited good behavior to be released after they complete at least 75% of their prison term. He killed 20 people, and they let him out for good behavior. He has heart disease and is going to need open-heart surgery, according to the court. So now the Serpent, a 78-year-old French national, who was born to an Indian father and a Vietnamese mother, landed at Paris's main international airport and was escorted off the plane by police after he was formally released on Friday.
He killed 20 people, yeah, and all he had to do was just sit on a tree trunk a couple feet from the hippie trail, and they would just come to me.
So they fly him on like a regular airplane. They like basically put him in coach, and this could be picture of the year. I can't really turn this around, but I want you to look at this, Darren. Look at the reaction of the lady who's learned that she's sitting next to a serial killer. She's sitting next to a serial killer on a plane. She's got both eyes wide open,
yeah,
and is staying in that coach seat. He's in the aisle.
He's got the aisle seat.
She's in the middle seat, and she's like, just don't get any ideas, Serpent. Not today, buddy.
Very, today. Very aware of who you are.
His lawyer says he is well and he is a free man. He will file a legal complaint against Nepal because the whole case against him was fabricated. He'd been in a high-security prison in Nepal since 2003 when he was arrested on charges of murdering an American backpacker, Connie Joe Bronzich, in 1975. In 2014, he was found guilty of killing Bronzich's Canadian friend, Laurent Carrière, and served 19 years of a 20-year sentence. While behind bars, he got married to a Nepali woman 44 years younger than him. Following his release, he says he was not guilty of murdering either of these two. He says, quote, I have a lot to do. I got to sue a lot of people.
And on with the honeymoon.
He's accused and suspected of committing more murders, including in Thailand, where police say he killed six women in the 1970s, some of whom turned up dead on a beach near a resort. He was jailed in India for poisoning a group of French tourists in 1976, but left before he could stand trial on the charges in Thailand. Ultimately, he's accused of committing crimes across the world, in France, in Greece, in Turkey, in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Nepal, in India, in Thailand, and Malaysia. He earned the nickname the Serpent after escaping prisons in multiple countries and evading authorities.
I've always felt that not seeing the world is a sin. It's a sin of the highest order. You must investigate our planet.
Travel broadens the minds, yeah, and killing hippies keeps me young.
Keeps me grounded.
I got a wife 44 years younger than me. And I tell you what, when it comes to killing hippies, I feel like sometimes I call her my old lady. What do you think of that?
Do what you love and you never work a day.
They call me the Serpent. And I'm fun. There's a guy in Philadelphia who's made it his life's mission to put payphones up all over the city of...
I'm bringing back the payphones, uh-huh, to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm.
A Philly guy trying to bring back a bit of nostalgia. Payphones, but this is where it gets even weirder. He wants to put up payphones, but without the pay part. He says that he used to use them when he was a teenager. And yeah, now he says he wants to bring them back. He heard of a guy in Portland who put a payphone up on his lawn. And this guy, Mike Dank in Philly, said, well, maybe I should do that, but I don't want to put it on my lawn. I don't want people using the phone on my lawn. I'll just put them up other places. So it's like a tech project where the phones will be connected to just some sort of internet thing. And people will be able to call whoever they want, and it won't cost anything. There'll be no payment in the payphones. He says, I'm trying to put them in places that will benefit the community. There's a population of people that don't have access to cell phones, or they have cell phones and they can't keep up with the bills. So he took the guts out of a phone he bought at a flea market 10 years ago and is bringing it up to 21st century standards. The phone, payphone, operates like any normal phone, but there isn't any payment.
No cost.
No, it's all out of pocket for him. But he's doing this, he says, he wouldn't mind having a little help if anyone wants to help him put up more phones. Calling on the kindness of strangers.
It's one-man job right now.
He says his dream is to see a revamped payphone in every neighborhood across Philadelphia. That's kind of cool, but, you know.
And my Jalen hurts.
Anybody else want to help me out with this? I've got another story, Darren, that is, it's a very picture-heavy story, but I couldn't not share this with you. This one comes to us from Florida.
Florida!
So they were having one of those public meetings where the public is, you know, they have like a commission and the public is there to give their comment.
Yes.
This was in Fort Lauderdale, and three leather-clad women.
Ah, yes,
Pitch building a dungeon to the Fort Lauderdale commissioners.
You may call me mistress.
That's what she says. Did you see the pictures?
Yes.
I mean, this is very...
Yeah.
It's like a Daft Punk video, these gals.
Those outfits don't look cheap.
No. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Reading here from WSVN. Says there was a strange sight at a Fort Lauderdale City Commission meeting when a trio of unusual guests stepped up and spoke before lawmakers.
We'd like you to zone a dungeon for us.
The outlandish appearance unfolded during Tuesday night's City Commission meeting. On the agenda was a sanitation issue. The item is the second part of a solid waste management, said one commissioner. As commissioners discussed the matter, three women clad from head to toe in leather and bondage gear walked up.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, her face completely covered by a mask and a visor, but with an opening revealing her mouth, addressed commissioners. Good evening, council people, she said. These three leather-clad women had showed up to comment on the sanitation issue, but that was not actually the subject on their minds. Quote, you may call me mistress. I am here standing neutral to the motion issue, approving an agreement for the proprietary purchase of yard waste processing and disposal. I do, however, find it interesting that you will spend almost $1 million to hide your secrets down the drain. The speaker, who signed in as Ms. Trey Crave, Ms. with two Z's, did have a proposal, and that was for city commissioners there in the good city of Fort Lauderdale to go ahead and build a dungeon.
You wouldn't mind.
She said, quote, created for us, by us, the taxpayers and voting citizens. Do not let this glamorous look distract you from doing your duty to take my demand. I look forward to spanking each and every single one of you at the new esteemed dungeon. The commissioners felt compelled to discuss this. One commissioner, John Herp, saying, quote, I know there are a couple of different proposed clubs of a variety of natures from a couple of years ago. I thought they were mostly in District 2, though.
I thought that was District 2's problem.
Now everybody is tweeting the same thing. Where is this District 2? asking for a friend.
Yes.
Yeah, this is in District 4 where these people want where these women want the dungeon. Going commissioner here saying, while we in Fort Lauderdale strive to be diverse and all-inclusive, to the best of my knowledge, we currently do not have any dungeons located in District 4 of the city.
That's the problem. Yeah, you're making our point for us.
So then this leather-clad woman She ends her her rant by saying to the commissioners, quote, "You are dismissed." And one of the commissioners says, quote, "Okay, thank you, and happy holidays to you."
Happy everything.
Happy everything is an appropriate thing to hear from a leather-clad mistress who wants to build a dungeon there.
Because we don't have one in District District 2.
Yeah.
District 4.
Sewage is not about hiding your secrets. Sewage is about, you know, health.
Yeah. Things could get bad.
Yeah. No, it's things go wrong. I like that she dismissed them and said she was looking forward to spanking all of them. That's really what the holidays are about. If you get a chance...
Don't be scarce.
Yeah, take a look at these three, because they look like they're from some sort of erotic planet. Like, they look like they're from some sort of 80s porno that takes place in outer space. It's like Emmanuel in Space meets Tron. I don't know.
Always with the Tron. How did the comedy sports Christmas Eve thing go?
It was great. It was sold out.
Now, were people in, they had to be probably in holiday cheer, festive.
Okay, so I'll tell you this. What I heard was, because they had Santa there at the beginning. So for like the half hour before we played, Santa was there and you could visit with Santa.
As an improv? He was doing improv?
No, he was not. And I don't know who this guy is. He's not a comedy sports guy. Mm-hmm. I think that they had rented out a Santa. I think comedy sports...
Were children there?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's an all-ages show. So this guy must be some sort of local Santa, and they had rented him out for an hour or something. You know, as an incentive, like...
But hey, all you people are going to have to leave and come back and pay for the comedy sports.
No. People came in and paid for comedy sports, and before the show, you could visit with Santa.
Oh.
That was it. So it was like a, you know... I think the doors open a good 45 minutes before the show starts. Uh-huh. People will get there. They'll get in their seats. They'll have a couple of drinks. They'll get some snacks. And then during that time, you could also, if you wanted to, you could hang out with Santa. They must have known somehow. I don't know the ins and outs of how Santa got there. But I do know that a friend of mine was talking to him. She was, like, taking pictures or whatever. And she was trying to have a little fun with Santa.
Yeah.
Santa wasn't in a mood for it.
No. Santa doesn't play improv.
Right? Santa, well, it was. She's like, oh, I'll take these pictures. She's like, oh, would you like me to email these to you? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. Like, he wasn't doing like the whole ho, 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 ho.
Yeah.
Unless there were like kids around you. Like, yeah. Email those to me. And she's like, oh, let me guess. What's your email like? Santa@northpole.org? And he's like, no, it's Jerry1257@hotmail.com. Like, he was pissed that she was. Why would you think I have a Santa Claus email?
So then, but the people that were in the crowd, what were they coming up with as far as topics? Was it Christmas related?
We did a lot of Christmas stuff.
Did you?
Yeah. It was. I mean, it was the last show before Christmas because we didn't do a show for Christmas Eve because that was Saturday night. So this was Friday the 23rd.
Oh, that's right, the 23rd. So your last chance to do some sort of Christmas improv.
Exactly. No, it was great. It was a sold-out show. And I'll tell you this, man. That crowd was ready to laugh.
Yeah.
Because you could tell they were happy to be out of their homes. Because we had all that cold and everything, and a lot of things were
canceled.
Now,
when you say people were ready to laugh, does that mean that people were saying things unfunny and they were still getting laughs?
That's not at all what I'm saying. When you do a show like this, sometimes the crowd needs to warm up a little bit. Sometimes it's like they don't know what's going on, or it's like, what is this? Sometimes you have to give them permission to laugh, where it's like they don't know, is this the funny thing now, or
was that supposed to be funny?
They were laughing. Every crowd is different, and this crowd
was ready.
They were ready for a show. It was great. It was terrific.
That's good.
Thanks for asking. But yeah, Santa.
You knew I would.
Santa was not. Well, I told you to before the show.
Santa was not in a jovial mood.
No, Santa when he had to be
on. I'm here on business.
That was basically his attitude. Like, when he had to be on, he was Santa.
Yeah.
But when he wasn't Santa, he was just like Kevin or whatever his name is. Let me guess, your email is Santa at.
I'm not really Santa.
No, this is a side hustle for me. Don't make this weirder than it needs to be. Boulder, Colorado, the main library is shut down due to high levels of methamphetamine.
Mm.
They had to close their main library earlier this week after environmental testing found methamphetamine was all over the facility's restrooms. Gotta go to the bathroom at the library and...
Everybody's cutting up rails, huh?
I guess. They did swab samples of surfaces inside and outside of the restrooms. They say the question right now is whether these levels of methamphetamine that we're very concerned about are confined to the exhaust vents in the bathrooms or whether the residue has developed and been deposited to parts of the library that people have more access to. The biggest concern for methamphetamine contamination in short bursts like that is if it's on the surfaces. So they had to shut down the library and do air duct testing in all the bathrooms, six different bathrooms in this library. They said there was residue inside the ducts that had higher than acceptable levels of methamphetamine.
Has anyone noticed that Kevin, the custodian, the library custodian, has worked four straight shifts and doesn't seem to be slowing down?
What's going on in the kids section? Why are they jumping from shelf to shelf? That seems weird.
They're jumping from tiny little chair to tiny little chair.
They say this comes after a recent spike in reports of individuals smoking in public restrooms at the library over the past 4 months.
We can't read these stories quick enough for these kids.
It's the weirdest thing. They check the books out and return them 30 seconds later. It's making a real headache. Usually, we take that time that the book is out to kind of work on other stuff. Yeah, they say that two different employees at the library were experiencing symptoms consistent with potential exposure to meth residue or fumes. A library director here saying this truly is a sad situation and represents the impact of a widespread epidemic in our community. Please, I can't believe I got to say this, Boulder, Colorado. Quit smoking meth in the bathrooms. Mm. This seems like an episode of Mork and Mindy. Didn't they live in Boulder?
Yes.
Exidor just brings his pipe into the library, get more crazy ideas.
It's not like Mork ever acted crazy.
Yeah.
He never talked fast.
That was cocaine. Mork wasn't smoking rocks. That was all.
You tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself.
Somebody stole a 10-foot nutcracker from a home in Albuquerque. I would think if you had a 10-foot nutcracker, you would think, at least they can't steal this.
So that you can use the carpool lane? Why?
It's 10 feet long. The Martinez family there in Albuquerque has this tradition where they do over-the-top decorations for the neighborhood to enjoy. Now, this year, the joy has been ruined after someone stole a 10-foot nutcracker. 1:30 in the morning on Wednesday, cameras captured someone creeping onto their property and running away with this nutcracker that the Martinez family built.
Yeah, it's hard to go unnoticed with a 10-foot nutcracker.
They built two 10-foot nutcrackers and had them on display in their front lawn. One of the nutcrackers is dressed like a fireman because the dad in this house is a first responder. They say this thief has spoiled the holiday for the family. Well, I guess he'll have that. It just seems like...
The other 10-foot nutcracker is an homage to Betty Crocker.
What are you going to do with a stolen 10-foot nutcracker? You can't...
Crack some nuts.
So where are you going to find nuts that are a foot long? That's not happening. Last story, I'm sure you saw this one. A baby in Alabama was born on the same day as mom and dad. This baby girl was born.
Mom and dad share a birthday?
December 18th, mom and dad. That's Cassidy and Dylan Scott's birthday. And they just had a baby who was also born. Wait a minute here.
on December 18th as well.
Yes, isn't that nuts?
Yeah, that's quite a coincidence.
Well, they say the chances of this happening are 1 in 133,000. Baby Lennon born on December 18th. Cassidy and Dylan Scott welcomed their firstborn last Sunday. And that's also their birthday. They say here, that's right, on December 18th, a chance that's 1 in 133,000 occurred when baby Lennon was born. She held on until 12:30 a.m., just in time for the celebration. Now, do you think that they...
Now, will they be looking to break the streak with the next child?
Oh, gosh, you have to.
I mean, you would basically, wouldn't you go out of your way to be like, okay, blah, 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 okay, we cannot be doing this in March.
Yeah, we got to.
Cannot. We've got to. We have to have. Let's agree that February and March, those are dry months.
I know, like you and your father shared a birthday on December 29th.
Yeah.
What if everyone in your family's birthday was December 29th? That would suck.
Yeah.
Although it would also be kind of great. Like, we're getting this all done in one day, and everybody gets like an hour. How would that even work? If this is the day we do birthdays in this house, and then we're done with it.
Well, Dad was most pleased with the fact that we had shared a birthday on December 29th was the tax break for that year.
Oh, got you in just in time.
Just in time.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they planned this.
You can kind of, you know.
Now, if the baby was born at 12:30 at night, do you think maybe mom was like, I'm going to keep her in there. I'm going to let her bake for another 45 minutes. And then.
Tell me it's okay. Tell me it's okay.
Now, the odds of sharing a birthday with one parent is 1 in 365. I think we can all wrap our head around that.
Well, so I guess that makes sense.
You and your dad having the same birthday, the odds of that are 1 in 365. But for both parents to then
both parents
have a baby on the same day, the odds go up to 1 in 133,000.
Which still is not astronomical. It's a lot.
It seems doable. I mean, yeah, but...
It's not 1 in a million.
Listen, it's odd enough... That it's something we're talking about here on the Patron Show. And, the old clock on the wall says that's all.
We're done talking about it
yes,
now.
Yes, yes. Patrons, thank you so much for your support through the years and especially through this year, 2022.
On to 2023.
What a crazy, crazy year it's been. And I guess we'll see you next year. I'm kidding.
Wow, we are only 7 years away. Or soon, it will only be 7 years away from the 80s being 50 years ago.
Oh, man, I'm not ready for that.
No one is.
Oh, no.
No one is.
No.
No one is.
Do you think we'll be over the 80s by then?
50th anniversaries of the 80s in just a few years. Oh, God.
I mean, will we find another decade to be obsessed with? Or are we still going to be... The 80s, culturally, the biggest decade of our lives, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I don't know.
You'd probably say 60s.
No. I mean, more was going on for me. Hmm. I mean, plenty went on in the 80s, but plenty went on in the 70s for me as a kid.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's been a decade to replace the 80s in terms of cultural importance.
Oh,
and we're only 2 years into this one, but I don't see this one panning out. Because everything that's big now is just
big and bad.
Rehashes. Yeah, exactly. Just doing all the bad stuff.
Maybe we're getting the bad stuff out of the way.
You know, I'd like to think so. Maybe the first 2 years of the 20s suck. The first, I guess, 3 years of the 20s suck.
If anything.
And then the rest of the decade can be cool. That would be great.
If anything, I'm an eternal optimist.
Yeah, you've proven that through the years, haven't you, pal?
I really have.
That's going to do it for this Dave and Darren Patron Show. Thank you so much for your support and patronage. We'll have another patron-only show for you in January.
I'm going to go have a can of condensed soup.
Until we get a chance to do this for you again, patrons. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities. Come on, Quad Cities. Represent. This is
for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keep it in lock. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keepin' it hot.
Okay, bye, stop making noise.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.